Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed, but questions remain about how long it will take for the new law to take effect. What kind of timeline can be expected? Dr. Larry Korb is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower, Reserve Affairs, Installations, and Logistics, and currently serves as a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He joins us live this morning with some insight. Dr. Korb, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Now, what is likely to happen next? What is it we can watch for as this makes its way through the system?
Well, you got two things. First of all, the way the law has been written, it says that the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the President have to certify to Congress that, you know, putting the law in, or, you know, dropping the ban on gays serving openly will not impact on military readiness. And the second thing is, while they're doing that, they're going to have to work out some procedures in terms of different things like benefits, for example, housing allowances, how to handle the question of same-sex marriage when a soldier or a sailor stationed in the state that allows it and then gets transferred to another. So those are the issues that they have to work out. I don't think they may, you know, have some training involved there, but I think in terms of the rules and regulations, it's pretty clear what behavior is acceptable and what is not.
And what do you think will be the difficult part of this for the military? Will it be the day-to-day operations of brigades and battalions and rifle companies, or will it be more at the policy level at the Pentagon?
Well, I think it's going to be more at the policy level. You know, it's interesting. If you look at, we did a study as part of this whole, you know, debate last year. One of the things we did is we looked at countries where the courts had made them drop the ban, specifically the United Kingdom, Canada, and Israel, where I am right now. And they had no trouble. I mean, the British, and it was December of 1999, they agreed with the court decision, decided not to appeal it, and they dropped the ban, you know, in the middle of January. And they haven't had any problems because we interviewed people, and, you know, their thing was, what are you guys, you know, sort of obsessing over this? It's not a big thing.
So the policy side of it is going to definitely have to be instituted on a higher level, but the philosophical change is going to be happening with the boots on the ground. Is that going to be a speed bump or something that they're going to have to work through? Or because they're all working together anyway, who cares?
Sure. I mean, if you look at it, I've been in the service and been a while ago, but even then, you know, when you fly with someone, and I was a naval flight officer, or you're in ground combat, you know what people are. And mainly you don't care because you just want to be concerned whether that man or woman can do the job. Will some people have problems? Sure. People have problems with everything. I mean, that's one of the great things about the service. You have to learn to live with people with different ideas on religion, different ideas on family life. I mean, these are things you have to come to grips with. Then in the final analysis, you know, basically what you're concerned about is, can that person, you know, basically protect my flank?
And something else happened recently that's ongoing in the Navy, maybe not as big as the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, but that's the adding women officers to submarines. And that's something they've never done before. That strikes me as probably a more difficult operational move to take place than it is to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Sure. And it's interesting. If you go back and you take a look at what happened when Congress basically dropped the ban on women serving in combat aircraft and combat ships, over the violent objections of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and all of the service chiefs. In fact, you had a commandant of the Marine Corps saying, you know, this will do something no enemy has ever done, defeat the Marines. It worked fine. And, I mean, there was no delay. Congress just changed the law. And now it's worked so well that the Navy's even moving to submarines, which people said, gee, that will never happen, you know, given the close quarters and everything on a submarine.
We're talking with Dr. Larry Korb. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. We're getting some insight into what's going to happen next with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or what's left of it. And that's another part of this. Is this going to just end and be done, or is there a phase-in, phase-out type of process? From a managerial standpoint, how do you handle the change?
Well, I mean, one of the things you're going to have to do, for example, what do you do with people who are, you know, right now you're pending discharges because they violated the previous policy? What are you going to do about allowing people who have been discharged under that? Will you allow them to come back? How will you change the training, for example, at the various, you know, levels where officers and petty officers get trained? Will you do, you know, make changes in living arrangements? For example, if a man or a woman is uncomfortable living with someone who they know is happens to be gay, those are the questions I think you have to answer. But you know, a lot of people paint these apocalyptic scenarios. They think that they estimated 2 to 3% of people in the military who are gay are all going to come out at once. That's not going to happen. All these people want is, I don't want to live a lie. And so, you know, they don't have to make up things, you know, what they do in their spare time or, you know, what, you know, places, or, you know, they may frequent, you know, in their off-duty hours.
And it also strikes me, and from what you're saying especially, is that this is something less than the momentous change that happened when the military was integrated racially back in the late 1940s.
Oh, very definitely. I mean, 80% of the American people think this is okay. You know, and the vast majority of the men and women in the service won't have a problem with it. Do you realize when we integrated in 1948, only 13% of the American people thought it was a good idea? And you had people like General Marshall and General Bradley, our great, you know, war heroes, World War II, saying they won't do it. This will ruin the Army. Yeah, I mean, it's so much different, I mean, compared to the other social changes, you know, in terms of integration, in terms of opening up opportunities for women. I mean, you had an Air Force officer, I won't name here, who said he'd rather, you know, fly with an unqualified man than a woman. You know what I mean? So those were much more dramatic changes. I think, you know, a year from now, we'll be looking back and say, well, gee, what was the big thing?
In addition to that, you know, allowing these people to not have to live a lie or opening up opportunities for women or people of color, from the flip side of view, what is it that the military is going to be getting out of this besides a whole new range of flexibilities and skill sets? I mean, there are a lot of people who are multilingual who can bring those skill sets to the table who might have been discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Well, they're going to get three things. First of all, they're, you know, people who are found out to be gay one way or the other, like you say, many of whom have very critical skills, they won't be forced out. Number two, and we did some interesting polling on this. The best estimate is about 4,000 people a year don't reenlist, even though they haven't been, if you will, outed, because basically they're tired of living a lie. And you will also be able to put your ROTCs at places like Harvard that, you know, have said we can't allow you here, you know, because of this policy, which our faculty views as discriminatory. So, I mean, I think they're going to get open up to a much wider group of people.
Dr. Larry Korb is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower, Reserve Affairs, Installations, and Logistics, currently a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. As always, thank you very much for that insight and safe travels.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. Take care.
And you can find links to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.